Welcome to Amici, news and insight from the New York Judiciary and the Unified Court System. Today's program is rather unusual in that it is 30 years old. Let me explain. On December 17, 1985, Judge Matthew J. Jason, a renowned and revered judge of the New York State Court of Appeals, said his final goodbyes to his colleagues on the court shortly before retiring after 18 stellar years in the High Court. The court always holds these special partings in the court's inner sanctum, which is normally well off limits to the public. However, on this rare occasion, the doors were opened briefly to allow a television crew from the PBS WMHT program inside Albany to film. With the 100th anniversary of Judge Jason's birth approaching on December 13th, the Historical Society of the New York Courts posted the 1985 video on its blog. You can view the program in its entirety through the Historical Society's webpage. What follows is the audio.
The Court of Appeals, and they let Inside Albany in this week for the first time to show retiring ceremonies for a judge, Matthew Jason.
Once it seemed so far off, 18 years ago, when I first came here, and now the thought of it, just a few weeks away, generates great emotions.
Jason has sat through 15 retirement ceremonies during his term on the court. This week was his turn. As usual, the ceremonies were held in the judge's conference room, an area usually off limits to the public. Jason's fellow judges, court staff members, and his replacement, Justice Stuart Hancock of Syracuse, were all there to say goodbye. And as usual, the chief judge led the farewell.
After 18 years of service on our court, Matt, your absence will surely be felt. But your more than 800 opinions, which serve as models of clarity and scholarship and independence of thought, will remain as guideposts to those of us whom you leave behind to carry on.
Jason was the court's senior associate justice, and he wrote some celebrated dissents, which were later upheld in the U.S. Supreme Court. Now he'll return to Buffalo to practice law.
The judges of the court.
Oh, I think the fondest memory of the court is being a member of this court and sitting in on the great decisions that must be made and decided by seven people.
When you go back through the luminaries who have served on this court, and when you walk into that courtroom, have you had a sense of history? Have you had a sense of
Yes. Here
I am in their footsteps?
One couldn't help but have that in this beautiful courtroom. I think it's one of the finest courtrooms of its kind in the country. There's no question that one is moved by the surroundings, and of course the challenge that goes with the cases that we have to hear and the people that we sit with in conference. All of these things add to the aura.
When you were a little boy, did you say, "I'm going to grow up and be on the Court of Appeals"?
Of course not. As a matter of fact, I alluded to that in my remarks, in my closing remarks this afternoon. As a matter of fact, when I left law school in the depths of the Great Depression, I never thought of being a judge, let alone a judge on the Court of Appeals. But time and circumstances changed all that. And then when in 1946, I was in Europe and I was appointed United States judge in Heidelberg, Germany. And there I was exposed to the result in the Holocaust and what one man did and his followers to a lot of innocent women and children, that my judicial career was inaugurated under those circumstances. And I must say that it's never left me, the impression that that lesson that taught me to be sure that this did not happen in this country. And it afforded me an opportunity by being on a Court of Appeals to ensure that this country will never suffer the fate that other people did under different circumstances in Europe.
Do you think that there is or should be some type of geographic or ethnic balance on the court? This always comes up when a new judge is about to be appointed now.
Well, as not as such, because I think the first question that the governor or the appointing authority should bear in mind is that person qualified? Does he have judicial aptitude? That's the first and foremost question that must be answered. All things being equal in that respect, say a three or four candidates, the governor may have a choice to make, then, of course, the next factor might be, and you certainly could consider, the background of the individual insofar as his, the area where he comes from, the diversity that he may, point of view that he may offer to a court, a collegiate court of this sort. It'd be terrible to have them all of one type, of one background, of one area, from one area. I don't think it would be good for the state of New York, particularly where we have so many fine people located in different parts of the state.
Think you'll be complaining about judges as a practicing attorney?
Well, I don't know. It depends what happens. I've been now subject to the whims and the demands of judges that I've heard some lawyers complain about.
You know, with the 18 years that Judge Jason has been on the Court of Appeals bench and all the decisions that that represents, he's probably had more impact on the state of New York than many of the luminaries we interview every week. This is probably the first time he's ever appeared in a television interview.
I think you've committed us to covering the Court of Appeals a bit more.
Thank you for listening to this edition of Amici. If you have a suggestion for a topic on Amici, call John Carr at 518-453-8669 or send him a note at jcaher@nycourts.gov. In the meantime, stay tuned.